what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're enabling us to do our happy dance. Nice, the happy dance. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Every time you watch or listen to the media, we should be doing our end times dance. Get it? Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor, though, will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? For this very reason, the truth is, I can't dance. That's just how it goes. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Living this life, not always easy running. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. First of all, I can't even read my intro. I mean, how good is that? We're already starting like...
It's only your first time doing it.
Yeah. You know, I've done this 2,400 times in 10 years, just like you'd just think by now. Yeah. Anyway, let's back it up. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I just proved that. We have no idea what's going to happen. I just proved that, and I don't care. I'm proving that now. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, that thingy. Like, you can't dance with your feet. If you can't dance with your feet before the Lord, can you dance in your heart before the Lord? Because he's watching you. Just pointing that out. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That'd be sad. Just reach out to us. Give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, here you go. Talking to Dynamite D is like somebody letting you in when you need to change lanes in traffic.
That is actually very kind. Thank you,
Dave. It is a very kind gesture, and sometimes you're like, oops, I missed, and so on and so forth. Some people take advantage, it's true, but sometimes you just go, oops, you know, because you missed. So talking to you is like that moment where somebody's nice.
Pretty good, Dave.
That's not too shabby. Here's the other thing you can do. You can text us during the show as well as call us. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Pro voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Also, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It is true that I still have the workability of my Chromebook. I'm very happy. I no longer give it a dollar value because at this point, I could probably sell it for nothing. I'd have to pay somebody a dollar to take it.
Does the light still come on?
So far, but I think it's the reflection of the bulb up in the ceiling, but I don't know. Anyway, you can email me, david@hemustincrease.org, live during the show as well. We send you up to the website. As you guys should know by now, and multiple things going on. Number one, our contest is up and running. There is a contest page on the website. It shows you what book that we are giving away. It also tells you what the first clue is. Going to be 7 clues. The first person that gets all 7 clues that contacts us by phone, by text, or by email, that person will win the book. It's just that simple. Check it out on the website. Plus, speaking information in regards to my speaking in July 2nd at Lake Murphy Baptist Church. I want to encourage people to come out and see us because I haven't had a chance to meet a lot of you. Those that come out, please continue to come out. And those that have never come out, come join us. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. And, you know, the preaching will be goofy, but you'll get through it. And then finally, I want to remind everybody tomorrow, Tanya Magnus is going to be here for an interview. First in studio interview since the COVID experience.
That came pretty fast, Dave.
Yeah. You say it, you talk about it, and then boom. Right? So we're looking forward to have Tanya on the show. It'll be a lot of fun. I was writing some stuff up and reviewing some stuff to talk to her about tomorrow. And basically, it's going to be the same thing that we've always done. Somebody's going to come in. We're going to talk. We're going to share. I'm going to ask some questions. And then we'll just let the Lord lead us. I mean, that's just the best way to do it. And all that stuff and giving. Yeah, that's right. I talk about it every once in a while. I don't like twisting arms. Well, the reason I don't like twisting arms is radio. See, because I can't see. Okay.
Gotcha, Dave.
Gotcha. All right. So anyway, you can give on the website. If you don't want to give directly through the website, on the website, we tell you how to give. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
That's right. Where we're going, you don't need roads. You need a radio, or you need internet, or you need some kind of connection or an app, but you don't need roads.
Correct.
There you go. Don't forget to be praying for your June buddies. I don't know why I'm in such a good mood. I'm in a good mood.
Well, that's a blessing, Dave.
I know. I'm just so happy that I'm in a good mood. I think some of the warfare is lifting a little, and that makes me feel lots better. Not that the warfare is over, but just that it's kind of like easing up or whatever. And then so proud of my wife. I can't tell you all the little details here, but let's just say she's advancing her personal life career in the flower industry and has already done some phenomenal work and has been recognized for it. We'll talk about it down the road when I get permission.
That's a blessing. I think you hinted at it last week, I think.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm not, yeah. I'll say what I can say when I can say it.
Gotcha.
That's fair. Okay. So pray for your June buddies. That's very, very important. And then be praying for your neighbors because you got neighbors. And you know what? If you love them, you're praying for them. Did you hear what I just said? I want to make sure everybody knows that. If you love them, even if they're kind of like you're not your friends, maybe even your enemies, you what? You pray for them. Okay. That will come in very handy later on in the show. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 6. We are picking it up at verse 11. If you remember last week, and it was really good, we talked about the blessedness of having nothing and yet possessing everything. That was pretty powerful. Okay, I think a lot of people got a great deal out of that. Now I want to pick it up in verse 11. You get to see that Paul, you know, that everybody's trying to make this guy out to be something that's, you know, super bad or whatever because he's, you know, he tells women you have to fulfill your role in the kingdom of God. Oh, like that's a bad thing to do. Just like men have to fulfill their role, children have to fulfill their role. Yeah, got it. Anyway, here you get to see this emotional part of him, and it does get through, and the scripture allows people's personalities to come through from time to time. You get this kind of thing going on in this verse right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our hearts are wide open, or open wide. Our hearts are open wide. It is not our affection, but yours that is restrained. That's a very interesting statement. Wow. As a fair exchange, I ask you, as my children, open wide your hearts also. Now, if you think about this, this is kind of a rather very, very personalized, direct statement to the church at Corinth, right? Paul pours his heart out before the Corinthian church. He says, look, I've held nothing back. I've given you my very heart. I've given you my very self. Is it unreasonable for me to ask the same from you? Could you at least give me some of your heart? No, well, the idea is that Paul's pouring himself out for them and opening himself up for them. He's trying to be a benefit and a blessing. He wants to know if they think it's okay for him to ask for a little bit in return. You see, this is the thing about Scripture. The thing about Scripture is it's so alive. And so you just think, you read, people will read through that, they'll buzz through that like Flash, going from the East Coast to the West Coast. Want to see it again? I mean, that's how fast. And it's like, you got to slow it down, man. Look at what's being spoken. He's telling them, I've poured myself out for you. I've given my heart. I'm telling you, our hearts are wide open. I mean, it's not us that's pulling back. It's you that's pulling back. I'm asking you, my kids, I give you what I can. I mean, open your hearts to us also. Give me a break. Come on. Come back with this way. This is where, and we get a lot of that on this show, so I don't want anybody to think you got to pick it up and do it on this show. I actually want you to do this for other people in other ministries. This is what I want you to do. When people pour it out and you know they're pouring it out, and I don't care if your pastor is a pastor of 10 people or 10,000 people, you let them know. You tell them that you appreciate. You tell them, you can tell, and you can tell when a preacher, I mean, let's be honest, you can, first thing you can tell is you can tell when a preacher's real or not. You can tell who's phony. I don't know what happened, but it's easy to tell now. It's a lot easier to tell, right? Anybody who's perfect is lying, okay? That's easy. All right, the second part is this. When they're real about it and they're being open about it and they're revealing themselves and they're opening their hearts, you know, then that's them being vulnerable before people. Hey, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Jesus expressed his moments of struggle or his moments where he was like, you know, hey, you guys need to pray for me. I'm going into the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to stay here and pray for me. It's going to be tough. I mean, that's part of it. That's a normal part. And so he's just like, look, I've given you so much out of my heart. Can you just give me a little back? And so what we need to be aware of is people that pour it out for us, we need to be aware of that and pour it back for them too. We need to not just be, wait, you need to not just be receivers. Let me, permission to use an analogy. We need to not just be radio receivers. We also need to be broadcasters. In other words, you don't just take it in. Sometimes you got to put it out and give it back out. So my encouragement is for all of us to take the time. There's people in your life, the Bible study leaders, people that you go to for prayer. I mean, there's zero wrong in that. Just make sure that you have a reciprocal going on from a heart point of view. That's all. This is like don't cut me out. I'm right here, man. That's a nice way to say it. But
so,
you know.
So Dave, what did this mean? Like the Church of Corinth, does it say restricting your own affections?
Yeah. So they're holding back their feelings.
Okay.
So affections are your feelings, your emotions. They're being very, what's the word we're looking for? They're being very tight with their reciprocation of their emotions and their connections to him. And he's like, don't do that.
Gotcha.
I'm pouring out for you. Pour out for me. You see that? That's what we're talking about. Does that help? Okay. You got it. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. A Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? Hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I found it fascinating because Dynamite D and I were talking in the off time about, like, the commentators might say on something like this, that it's more like the people that were all, like, totally, you know, dissing on Paul and so on and so forth. And so he's saying, hey, come back. And it's like some of that is, it's not that it's totally inaccurate, but they're missing a big key of who Paul is. And by the way, I love the study Bible quest. I gave it to him. So I know how much
you did, Dave.
I have one. I use it every day. So I'm not, you know, it's not a knock on them. You just got to be a little more expansive. So he asked a great question about it. And see, that's what's cool about the show. You can ask. I mean, if I don't have an answer, I'll tell you. I don't know.
We're such nerds. Yeah. Biblical nerds, though.
Yeah, but some of the nerd stuff's good. All right, here you go. Here's your first trivia question. You guys ought to get this. It should not be that difficult because yesterday's were difficult. I felt bad. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew his brother, he said, "Follow me and I will make you what?" Did he say? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, there's kind of like the nicest way to put that. There's this trivia question. It's not that complex. Jesus called Peter and Andrew his brother. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you." There you go. Got to answer that right there. You guys should know that. It's in Matthew chapter 4, essentially verse 18 and 19. Let's do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I don't know how to say this any different. So let me see if I can do it. Every day. Okay. Is that good?
Very simple, but to the point.
Every day. Okay. Again, not a legalistic thing, just time. Just spend time. You can spend time in front of your television every day. Okay. You can spend time with the Lord every day. That's just, there's no way around that. Okay. All right. Or if you don't watch television, you spend time with your radio. If you don't, how do you listen to me now? I'm just saying. Or your smartphone. How you listen to me now? Okay. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And again and again and again, in politics and academics and media, it is getting, every single day, it is getting worse. So if it's a pre-trib rapture, that has to be coming like tonight. That's all I'm saying. And then everybody else can, you know, argue about it. I'm just saying, if it's a mid, you know, maybe, because we're getting stuffy to the point. If it's the end, we'll see about that. Or if it goes completely different, we'll see about that. But I want it to be the pre-trade. Don't get wrong understanding. I just want to be prepared regardless. But they are making it harder and harder for you to stand in the Word of God, which is why you need to know it and stand by it. The righteous are as bold as a lion. A, always be ready.
To serve.
OPM, other people matter. It's more therapeutic for you than it is anything else that you engage with what Jesus is trying to teach people on how to live a better life, and that is to love the brethren the way that Jesus loves the brethren. Like, there you go. What'd he do? Well, he gave his life up for the brethren. Okay, good. Taught them, right? Rebuked on occasion. Prayed for them, provided for them, all the things. Just name it, put it in there, thinking about what Jesus did. That's how he wants us to love one another. There you go. And by that, by the way, all men will know what? You're his disciples. So the witness is that. The witness is not, and we're going to get into this in about 3.5 weeks, maybe in that range. People just say, well, Jesus, it's unconditional love. Yes and no. It's unconditional initially. But if you reject, things change. This is how it goes. You can get mad at me all you want. That's what happens. You reject, as you're going to see, that does not go well. All right, here we go. Into the, into the trivia question, and then we'll go into the rest of the teach. Trivia question. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew his brother, he said, follow me, and I will make you. What did he say to finish that statement? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email to david@hemusincrease.org. I've told you many times you don't have to agree with everything I say, and this could be one of them. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked, which actually should say do not become unequally yoked, but it's okay. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Here's the bottom line to this. Everybody reads this passage and goes, see, you can't hang out with unbelievers. But that is not what it says. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. Unequally yoked refers to Christians joining in primarily pagan and idolatrous practices, which he talks about in two verses, and then closely yoking themselves in a close relationship with unbelievers, that is, in a way that they compromise the integrity of their faith. This allusion is to Deuteronomy, or it's connected to Deuteronomy 22:10, a warning against marriage to unbeliever is obviously an appropriate application, but that is not the primary application, and people should stop saying it is because it ain't. That's number one. Number two, I just want to point this out to everybody. It says do not be unequally yoked. see the difference there? Unequally yoked. Just think about the word. Just think about the word and then put it into play. I think you'll figure it out. But it's important to understand that the primary purpose of this statement is not about marriage is an absolute application. You cannot say it is not. But it is not the primary. The primary has to do with Christians hooking up with unbelievers in pagan celebrations and compromising their faith. And the reason that I bring that up is because when people will use this and say, I can't ever hang out with unbelievers. Really? You better tell Jesus he messed up. Or you better tell every other Christian they messed up. Because if you can't talk to an unbeliever, how do they get saved? I mean, this is absurd. What you don't do is you don't descend into where they're at in order to talk to them. You don't have to be them to talk to them. But it doesn't mean you never say hi. You see? And then the other part about this is the yoking. And a yoking is a bonding together that's like you can't unbreak the bond, so to speak, or it's very difficult and the chains have to be loosed. Hanging out with an unbeliever is not being yoked to the unbeliever. Hanging out with an unbeliever every time they worship Satan, that would be a little different. You see what I'm saying? It's like, what do you go out to dinner? It's like, fine. Jesus ate with the prostitutes and the drunkards and the sinners. So just, calm. just got to think about how to process it. Now, the next portion does give us a very definitive distinction between believers and unbelievers. It's similar to the difference between righteous and the wicked, light and darkness, Jesus Christ and the enemy, Satan. God intends his people to be holy. That means separated for God's purposes. It doesn't mean we don't engage with others. It means that we don't allow others to transform us. That's the key. You don't allow other people to transform you. Whether that's people in the media, the government, the education system, or any other entity, we put ourselves in a place to be, if we put ourselves in a place to be molded by them, then we have become unequally yoked. Like, wow, right? So it's really important, right? I mean, you guys can think, yeah, okay. I mean, that's, so you got to be careful about the influence of that. Doesn't mean that you disappear. If God wanted you to disappear, you wouldn't be here. But you're here. And you're carrying out the purposes of the king with purpose, right? And so when you talk about the holiness of God, everybody knows that God wants us to be separated. I will live in them. I will walk with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. In order for that to happen, you have to come out from among them. You can't dwell in the darkness and think it isn't going to impact you. But that doesn't mean you never talk to anybody in there. And that's a big issue. Okay? It's difficult to manifest a Christian in a group of non-Christians if you can't tell the difference. Ouch.
Very important for the day we're living in.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. Right? All right. Answer a trivia question. Jesus called Peter and Andrew, his brother, and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, 19. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives man, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom, talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1:12-14, finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2:1-3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources. He did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. This is, I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2:24-26a. "A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.